the fifth chapter of the book of Hosea. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm only going to read the very first verse, and then we're going to pray, and we'll probably read some other verses, but just read the first verse. Hear ye this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give you ear, O house of the king, for judgment is towards you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, your kindness to us. I thank you, Father, for the wonderful, wonderful salvation that you provided for us through Jesus Christ, your wonderful Son. And I thank you tonight, Lord, that we can meet together in this place, and Father, that we can hear from your word. And I certainly need your help. I need your power. I need your wisdom. Lord, I just need you. And I ask you, please, God, to help this preacher tonight as I preach this message that you've ordained for me to preach this Wednesday night services. So, Father, again, we do pray for those over there that's going through all of this turmoil and heartaches and loss and grief. I pray for them. God help. Do what you know is right and good to do for them, but intervene, please, and encourage their hearts and help them. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been going through the book of Hosea, and I hope, I trust that it's been somewhat of a blessing to you. There's much truths in this book that we need to hear. We're living in a day when the book of Hosea needs, I believe, to be preached. And so I think we'll just go back just a moment, a little bit, just review just a little bit on what the story was. You remember Hosea was instructed of the Lord to go and take out of harlotry a wife. And he did that. I personally believe, no, the scripture doesn't say that, and that's okay. Whatever the scripture says is true. But I personally would believe he fell in love with her in younger life. I believe he had feelings for her, and then she went into to whoredoms. And I think it broke his heart. God come along and said, you go get you one out of whoredoms and marry her. Of course, he went and got Gomer and married her. We know that they had three children. After the children was born, and we find that she again then went back into whoredoms. Then after that, Hosea was instructed by the Lord to go and purchase her back, to buy her back. And he did that, and what a wonderful, wonderful picture of salvation. That's what Jesus done for you and for me. Wonderful. You didn't deserve it. Gomer didn't either, but you didn't either. I didn't either. And Jesus bought us back and provided salvation for us and paid for our sins. Thank God for that tonight. But we find, of course, then soon after that, God lets it be known that that was the beginning of the story, but the whole story, the whole picture is a picture of how Israel treated God. That's the picture of the whole book. And it's right around chapter 4, you find that you don't really see the personal life of Hosea and Gomer anymore. You see the story going on, and God is letting Israel know that that's exactly what she did to him. He says basically to Hosea, you know how I feel. Go out there now and preach to Israel. Amen. And he was able to go with this personal experience and preach to Israel about them going also into whoredoms and walking away from God. And he was able to preach that and warn them. And so that's the basic story. Chapter 4, if you would read, we would take time to read that. Leaves no doubt whatsoever about what God is going to do about it. God is going to judge Israel. In chapter 4, I'll read just a few verses. Verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. You know that blood touches blood. I don't think I really covered that a lot, because there's a lot we're not covering. We're just trying to hit each chapter a little bit. But I believe that speaks of when blood touches blood. When these filthy sins that they had committed is not going to only touch you, but it's going to touch your family. Blood touches blood. And that's the truth that I think we'll even see tonight. You understand, folks, that our sins, what we do, the way we lead, makes a difference in our children and our families. Okay? And so he says that, and then he says in verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, and the beast of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea, also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive for reproof another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. And we could just read on down, and you find that God is saying, Israel, you're going to be judged. I'm going to bring judgment on you for walking away from me and turning your back on me. And in some place it even said that they forgot God. Can you imagine just forgetting God? Just forgetting him. We of course, talked about that. But I want to go now to verse number 1. We're going to basically take our message from verse number 1. If we'll go to it, hear ye this, O priest, and hearken ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And if you read on down there in verse number 4, they will not frame, or that means they will not direct their doings to turn unto their God. They refuse to repent. Now, are you getting the picture? Are you hearing the picture? They refused to repent. They would not turn from their doings and walk with God. They would not do that. On down in verse number 9, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. And here he's talking about the time, the season comes when God is going to absolutely punish Israel. He talks in verse 11, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandments. And he's not talking about God's commandments there. He's talking about man's commandments. They walked after man's commandment, and the heathen nations around them was going to crush them and oppress them because of their wickedness. He says in verse 12, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. And there he's just simply saying, as a moth that would get into a closet. Some of you ladies probably know about those things. They get into closets and they do really bad work in a very short time. With Judah, he said it'll be as rottenness. And a rottenness takes a long time. If you lay a piece of wood out, it takes quite a while for it to rot. And God dealt with Israel first, and then he dealt with Judah next. And it was quite a difference in the time there when he done that. But anyway, let's go back to verse number one. You'll notice what he says, hear ye this, O priest, hearken ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king. And he says after that, for judgment is towards you. He's warning them about judgment. I want you to listen to me tonight. I want you to hear me out. I want you to be attentive. I want you to hear what I've got to say. I believe it's very, very important. All right, it's easy to let your mind wander, but you need to listen. Now, you need to listen to what we're going to say tonight, because what God is doing is he here is condemning leadership. He's holding accountable leadership. Oh, the house of the king. Oh, the priest. He's talking about political leadership. He's talking about spiritual leadership. And we need to listen to this tonight. We need to see what God is saying about that. Leaders of countries have great responsibility to lead in a godly way. Most of them do not do that, but they have the responsibility. God has put them in the place of leadership. Governors of a state have responsibility to lead that state in a godly way. Now, I'm not talking, and I'm not interested in what the political people or the political parties say. I'm talking about what God says.
Amen.
And God holds them accountable. Governors of the state, you know, that would be a great job, and it would be a tremendous job to perform. But God holds that leader responsible. And he also, talking about the mayors of even little cities like ours. Thank God we've got a godly mayor. Norman Clark is a fine man, good Christian man. But I want to tell you something. God holds him accountable to be that in his leadership position. You take the Congress of the United States. I'm telling you, God holds them accountable for godly leadership. Okay, I'm not worried about their constituents. I'm not worried about those people who they represent. I'm talking about what God says. God holds them accountable for their leadership. You see, it's very important. They're the ones that lead. They're the ones that make the laws. And the responsibilities are great. That's what he was saying to Israel here. O kings, O priests. He was saying we're dealing with kings right now. Most of those in those positions are liberal people. Liberal not only in their political ways, but they're liberal in their theology or spiritual ways. Most of them, many of them. And when I say that, you understand, you know that there's godly people in places of position. Thank God for that. But I'm talking about as a whole, there's a whole lot of those people are very, very ungodly. And they're going to be held accountable for leadership responsibility. You think about it across the world. How many countries do you know of who has a president or a king or whatever their leadership is called that is leading their country biblically? How many countries can you find? You mark it down. How many are out there leading their countries in a biblical way, in a biblical manner? It's not being done. But that's what God requires. Amen. You see, how many kings, which they could be said about them, they're doing that which is right in the eyes of God. The Old Testament, that's the way God judged the king. He said they did that which was right in the eyes of God, or they did that was evil in the eyes of God. How many leaders do we have in this country, in not only this country, but across the world that is leading their nation in a godly manner? Now, God holds them accountable for that. That's what I'm saying to you. God holds them accountable for that, you see. I want to take you back and I want to show you a biblical principle that we want to deal with tonight. I'm going to take you back to the book of Genesis, the first chapter of the book of Genesis. First chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want to read through some verses here, verse 11 and verse 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after, notice that statement, after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. If you'll skip down over to verse 21, please. He says, and God created great whales, an ever-living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. In verse number 24, he says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. You notice each one, he says, after his kind. And you just keep that in mind. Verse 26 and 7. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him after God's likeness. Amen. Now go over to Genesis, the fifth chapter. Fifth chapter, Genesis, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam, and in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Amen. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. What I'm saying to you is that you notice the difference when Adam and Eve was made. They was made after the likeness of God. When you find that you come along and Adam had another son, it says in his own likeness. And what was it saying that for? It's because Adam had sinned. Adam and Eve has sinned. No longer could they be completely. I know they're made in the image of God, but no longer can it be said that they're made in God's image because there was sin involved. So he's simply saying each one produces after his kind. There hasn't been one person from Adam through Seth has not been one person that was not a sinner. That wasn't lost. You and I included. And we needed a Savior to save us. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say to us today, the same truth is true today. We'll get here to the message in just a moment. You see, men produce after their own kind. That's why God told us over in the book of Romans, you know, we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. After we're born again, we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. We can't do this, what liberal Christianity is doing. Saying it's okay to do this, okay to do that, you can do whatever you want to do. No, we're to be in the image of Christ. We have restrictions, we have instructions on how we're supposed to live after we get saved. Why? We're supposed to be like Jesus. Amen? That's what we're to do. That's what you're to do. That's what I'm to do. You see, we're supposed to live like Jesus, you see, and be like Jesus, you see, because we're born into his family and we become like his image, who he is. Amen? Now, what I want to do is I want to take a few things tonight and realize that not only is the kings condemned, the leadership is condemned, but the priest also is condemned. I'm not going to go back through the scriptures. We could go to multitudes of scripture and show you where the priests walked away from God. They taught contrary to the word of God, and God held them accountable for that. I believe with all of my heart that God is still holding accountable people who are preachers, people who, and I'm going to say, not only is a preacher a priest, but you are too. You are made priests and kings through Jesus Christ. You become a priest, whether you realize it or not. That's what you become. You and I have a responsibility to live for God. I have a great responsibility to live for God. I have a responsibility because of my leadership responsibility. That doesn't mean that you don't have. In fact, it's interesting. We're going to go back over to the book of Hosea there. And it's interesting. Chapter 4, verse 9. Listen to what he said. I think it's chapter 4, verse 9. Yes. And there shall be like people, like priests. You know what he's saying? He says the priests are no different than the most common man that you could find. The priests are no different. They're living just like the common people are living. The common man, they're probably the one that is living the worst. And he said, like the people, like the priest. Now, I want to say something to you. I know the priest has responsibility, and God holds us accountable. We'll talk about that in a few moments. God holds us accountable. If you're a priest, if you're a child of God, and that's what you are, you have a heavy responsibility to live for God. Completely and fully live for God. And so do I. I have a responsibility because of the place that God has placed me in, the leadership of this church. I have a heavy responsibility to live right and do right. Yes, I do. But you do too. You have a responsibility to live for God, you see. So what I want to share with you is producing after our own kind. I want to talk to you a moment about that. You see, that's not only true in the grass and the seeds and the herbs and the animals. That's true in us. That's true in our heart, in our homes. Do you realize that every home produces children after their own kind? You say, yes, Brother Ross, I know. I know that my daughter looks like my wife. I know that my son looks like the father. But I'm not talking about physical looks. I'm talking about the character that is developed in an individual is developed mostly in the home. I was riding in the car the other day and had some preaching on, and the man made a statement, and I just sat and pondered it. I just finally just turned the radio off, and I pondered what he said. He said, the home marks every child for life. Brother, I believe that with all of my heart. I sat there and pondered that, and I said, that's true. It doesn't mean that somebody can come out of a bad situation and live for God. It doesn't mean, but he's marked. She or he is marked. You hear me? The home marks us. There's no way that mom and my mother and my father, Walter and Lena Ross, did not mark me for life. There's certain things in me that was there because they put them there and they marked me for life. And it's true also of you. So I'm saying to you the importance of producing after your own kind. And whether we know it or not, that's exactly what we do. We produce after our own kind. In our homes, we do that. You see, that's why it's so important to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's so important to train them in the way they should go. You see, that training is not just something telling them. The training is illustrating it as examples and training them, showing them how to live for God. You see, why? Because you're going to produce after your own kind. You and I both do that, you see. So it's important that we train them up in the way that they should go, you see. And just training them to go to churches, I mean, that's good, that's wonderful, but that's not what he's talking about. It's training, overall training. In every area of their life, God says, we're to train them in the way that they should go. Right. Amen? It's not just one thing, oh, my kid prays, my kid goes to church. Well, boy, it's a lot more than that. Right. It's bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's teaching them what to do in life and how to be in life. It's training them. Amen? What they should do, you see. And so I'm saying to you, the home is so important because the home is producing after its own kind. No, it's producing after its own kind. You get that? You hear this? And not only does a home produce after its own kind, and listen to me, I know well that people can come out of a home, a bad situation, and live for God. I realize that. That's, as far as I'm concerned, when I say it's the exception, it's what God reaches down and does as a miracle of his grace. Right. I understand that. I know that. And thank God that that is true. But basically, the home that we grow up in, we are being trained and produced out of like kind. Amen. Not only that, the church also that you attend produces after its own kind. See, you may not think it's that important what church you go to, but I'm going to tell you right now it's very important what church you go to. Because you are going to be trained and helped and led by that church which you are attending. It is very, very, very important which church you go to. What I would look at is this. I would look around and see, what is that church producing? Now, again, you're going to say, Brother Ross, boy, we sometimes lose them. I'm talking about as a general rule, what is that church producing? What is it turning out? You understand what I'm saying? Because the church, listen to me, the church can't take over the work of the home. You can't look at a church and say, well, that kid went bad. Listen, there's more to it than just the church. The home, I say to you, is going to produce after its own kind. And the church also, though, will produce after its own kind. So what is the church producing? I would look around. I would look around and see, what is the church producing? What kind of people are they producing? I would want to know that. You hear Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I would say to you, you need to know what we're producing. We've got 12 Bible students in college. That ain't no big deal. I mean, that's great. I think it's wonderful, but it shows something what we're producing. But it isn't just college students. It's young people that grew up here and are right here in this church right now serving God, loving God, walking with God, and serving God. I would want to know any church that I was going to attend, I'd want to know what in the world kind of a people they was producing. I would want to know what their priorities is in that church. I'd want to know, is souls important? And I'd also want to know, is holiness important? Is holy living important to that church? And if it wasn't important, I wouldn't be around that church. If they didn't care for souls, I wouldn't be around that church. Amen. What I would want to know, are they producing servants or world lovers? Are they producing people who serve God and love God and walk with God? You look around this church and you look at I'm not talking about just the teenagers. I'm talking about the adults around here. You mark them down. You look at them. How long have they served God? Are they still serving God? Are they faithful to God? See, that's what's being done here, you see, because we're producing after our own kind. You understand? You see, they're not world lovers. And should not be world lovers. They should be servants of God. What I would do also is I would look at the leadership of the church, because it's going to produce after its own kind. I would look at the leadership. Now, I'm not talking about personality. There's some of you have trouble with anybody. If Jesus was here, you would have some problem. You'd find out something you didn't like about him. But I'm just simply saying, I'm not just talking about maybe a personality. I'm talking about faithfulness to God and walking with God on a daily basis and not playing around with the world's toys. Do you understand me? Because you know what? Leadership is going to produce those underneath them just like basically they are. Their goal is going to be. Okay? So I would look around. I would look at the deacons. Now, I didn't say something you didn't like about a deacon. I said I would look at the deacons. Are they faithful? Have they been faithful for years? Are they trustworthy? Are they honest? Do they love the Lord? Do they serve faithfully? I would look at deacons in any church, and I would look at them and find out if they was worthy, if they was people I would want my children to emulate. Amen. I'd look at the Sunday school teachers. I would look at the people who get up here and sing. Stand before the church and sing. I'd look at them. I'd look them over. Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to produce after our own kind. I'd want to know if that's the kind of church I wanted my children to be looking at and emulating. Amen. Wouldn't you? Do these people, does this leadership set the standard of godliness? Do they? You look at the leadership of this church, you look at the deacons, you look at the preachers, and you look at their wives. Do they have and live lives of godliness? How about our Sunday school teachers? Do they live lives of godliness? If they're not, I'd like to know it. Because they won't be teaching anymore. You can't hold to the standards of the church and love the church and believe in what's going on here. You don't need to be in a place of teaching. You don't have anything to teach. Amen. Sure. Because what's going to happen, we're going to produce after our own kind. Are they faithful? Are they people who set a standard of faithfulness? I mean, they're just at God's house. I don't care what goes on. The doors are open. They're there. We have a soul winning time. They're there. That's necessary. If you could not be in that kind of position, you oughtn't to be in that kind of position. Well, I mean, amen. You see, faithfulness, you see, to God's house. Do they come in with a sweet spirit instead of critical spirit? Always hunting something to gripe about and complain about? Or are they sweet-spirited people who love God? You see, that's because we produce after our own kind. And let me say to you, that's going to happen whether you like it or not. You want to go to a liberal church? You go to a liberal church because you're going to be produced in that liberal church after that kind. And your children are going to be the same way. Your children are going to become like the liberal church because that's the way it works. What does that church teach about Jesus Christ? Is he preeminent? Is there any time goes by through preaching, teaching, that we don't lift up Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and not men? Our program here is not to lift up men. Our program is to lift up Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's our program. That's what it's all about. We're not interested in how great men are. I'm interested in how great Jesus is. And if you follow the Bible and the Word of God, you'll give honor to those who honor is due, and you'll treat men as you should treat them, but Jesus will be honored above all. Amen. What about the Bible? Do they believe it's true, every bit of it? Every jot and tittle of it? Do they preach it as absolute truth of God? And it is absolute truth. It's not, the Bible don't just contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God. And not only do they teach it and preach it, do they practice it? Do they practice it? You know, you can get up and teach anything. You can preach anything you want. But the idea is you got to practice it. Sure. Now I want to skip from the church. I want to skip to the colleges. Colleges produce after their own kind. Now, I want you to listen to me a moment or two. You want to be very careful what Christian college you send your children to. Amen. For they will produce after their own kind. Yes, they will. Homes do. Churches do. Colleges do the same thing. I can't say that it should be any way or could be any other way. But that's what happens. That's why you want to be very careful where you send your children to college. See, that's why you see students that come back after being taught for years and years about the right and proper way to dress. They come back wearing tight clothing that you can't hardly move in. Because they've been taught by their colleges that that's okay. Instead of going with the standard, the biblical standard of modesty, that's biblical. That's Bible. Of modesty. They come back trying to outline every little bump they got. Come back wearing dresses a lot shorter than they went away to college with. Well, they like people to see their legs. No, that's all it is. They want people to see their legs. They want to display them. That's why they come back many times with slits in their clothing when they was taught here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to stay away from those slits, because when you walk in a slit skirt, you put that leg right out there for men to see. I done a survey. Most men don't know it, but I done a survey. I asked them. Went around asking men. It's been years ago. And I said, what do you notice in a slit? I mean, when a girl's got a slit on and she walks, what do you notice? He said, well, my eye just goes to her leg. That's what they want. It's exactly what they want. Or they wouldn't do it. You know why? Because colleges are allowing it. Colleges are saying it's okay. Amen? See, they want their bodies magnified instead of covered modestly. The Word of God teaches about modesty. Ladies, you should dress modestly. You can look nice and attractive in a modest way. And men ought to learn how to dress also properly, not in tight clothing. They ought to dress properly so they look like fine young men and have their hair cut in a proper way. That would be an honor to the Lord. You see, it's not a matter of salvation. It's a matter of honoring God. Many times from college, they come back with a proud spirit and a know-it-all spirit instead of a humble spirit before God. I've seen college students come back here and try to tell me what we should do. I'm serious. All at once, from a year or two out of here, they know everything. They know all about it. And I've only been preaching for 35 years. I don't know much. But I'm sure in those 2 years, they just got it all down pat. Foolishness. That comes from what they're being taught in college many times. Sometimes it is not. Sometimes they go there with that spirit hid under here and come away with it there out in the open. Girls go to college many times to learn how to boss instead of to learn to have a submissive spirit. If you're a girl and you're going to college, you ought to learn how to have a submissive spirit like God said you should have. You ought to learn how to submit to that sweet husband you're going to have one of these days, and he ought to learn how to love you from the bottom of his heart. He ought to learn how to love you. And you need to learn how to submit. Had one girl said she wasn't going to get married because she didn't want to be submissive. I'm for that. I really am. I'm for that. She should never get married. She should live to be an old maid. Instead, the boys come back submissive to their wives instead of learning how to be leaders in a home. Men, you've got to learn how to lead. And you do so in a wonderful spiritual way, in a kind, gracious way, but you've got to be leaders in your homes. You know why? Because God says so. God says the man is head of the home. It's not me making up something. I'm telling you, it's what God said. In fact, I would give any of these young girls around here advice. If you don't want to be submissive, stay unmarried. Don't get married. Don't bring that tragedy in your home and in your family and on your husband. And men, if you don't want to be a leader, then don't get married. Because men need to step up and be leaders. Kind, gracious leaders, but they need to be leaders. Amen. See, because colleges are going to produce after their own kind. They're going to do it. It's what's going to be there. Liberal churches produce after their own kind. I want you to listen to me. Okay, listen to me very carefully. I've had people say, you know, so-and-so church, you know, it's kind of a liberal church, but they're getting people saved. Listen to me. Getting people saved is not all there is to it. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, it's all about soul winning. No, it isn't. It's about soul winning, but it is not all about soul winning. Because you see, what kind of a convert are you going to produce after you get them saved? What kind of a convert are you going to turn out? In these liberal churches, I'll tell you what kind of converts you're going to turn out. You're going to turn out a liberal. I didn't say they was not getting saved. There's people get saved in liberal churches. But what they're going to turn out to be is liberals. Because liberal churches produce after their own kind. And what people do not understand is this is getting serious business in America. Churches in America are going backward and backward and backward and backward and backward and becoming more liberal. And the reason is because liberal churches has got multitudes of them. People won't stick in a good old fundamental Baptist Bible Baptist church, fundamental Baptist church. People won't stick with that. So they go to these liberal churches where they can do anything they want to do and feel good about it because no one's going to say anything. But what is happening is a breed of Christianity is developing. And that's what's happening clear across this land. They say, oh, look at the big, great people they've got in their churches and all of this. And I mean, big, large churches, and they let them do whatever they want to do. And all that's what we're producing, because they produce after their own kind. That is not biblical Christianity. You better get back to the Bible. You better get back to the book of Acts. You better find out what biblical Christianity is. We better start producing after that. Them kind of churches, we better start producing. Amen? And the problem, a lot of the problem is, people just don't want to be told what to do. But I tell you what, I find, wherever there's a heart that just loves God, they don't mind. No, they just don't mind. They know it's right, they know it's biblical, and they know they want to go forward and love God and walk with God and do right. And when they get off base, the old preacher preaches something, and they get back to an old altar of God and say, you know, that's right, preacher, that's what the Bible says, and I need to get back there. That's when they've got a heart that's right with God. Amen. You see, the Bible is filled with instructions on how to live after salvation. What do you think most of the New Testament is about? Look it up. Read it. Study it. Is it about salvation? Certainly a lot of it is about salvation. It tells us how to be saved, but most of it is about how to live after you get saved. And what's wanting to do? They're wanting to take all the bounds off of the Christian life and do whatever they want to do. Just live the way they want to live, and that's okay. No, we're producing after the liberal church, after their own kind. Missionaries, let me just touch on it. Missionaries are going to go across the land, whichever direction they go. They're going to go across the land, and they're going to go somewhere in another country if they do go as a foreign mission. They're going to go to that country, and they're going to produce after their own kind. You see, they're going to build churches after their own kind. You say, well, it's wonderful. This missionary's going, well, what's he going to produce? What is he going to produce? What kind of church is he going to establish? If he's weak on the Bible, his church will be weak on the Bible. Why? Because he produces after his own kind. Amen. We don't need just a bunch of new churches started. We need good independent fundamental Baptist churches started. I mean that are independent, with pastors who care enough to stick with the book. And stick, no matter what anybody says or whatever happens, he just sticks with the book. That's the kind of churches. No, we got some churches that's being even started, and we got churches all over this country that all they worry about, the preacher worries about, is if their people's going to like them or not, or care for them or not, and whether they're going to kick them out or not. That's all they're worried about. No, preacher's supposed to just get up and preach. Is he supposed to love these people? Yes, he is. And I'll tell you what, the greatest proof of love is preach the word of God to your people. If I didn't preach the word of God to you, I'd prove to you I did not love you. Amen. But I preach the word of God to you because I do love you. But whether you think I love you or not is not going to change my message. Amen. Not going to change it one inch. You understand? So I'm saying to you, you see, we've got to realize that if this church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, doesn't stay strong for the Lord, it's going to go backwards, it's going to become liberal, and it's going to produce after its own kind. That's why when these young people go off to college, I want them to come back with still the steadfastness that they went away with, instead of yielding to every little temptation that comes their way. I want them to stand on the Bible, the Word of God, and to do right and love God. And there's some of them that's went from here have done that. And they've just said, I don't care what the college teach. I'm going to just stand with God. I'm going to stand on the word. Amen? Yes, And they did, and have. So I'm saying to you, God condemned the leadership. He condemned the king, and he condemned the priest. And you're a priest with God, and I am too. He condemned the pastors, the leadership that led churches. I'm saying to you, we have a heavy responsibility to see to it that we stick with the book and we don't let off on our standards. Every Christian has a responsibility to stick with the book and not let off on their standards. You hear me? You know what? There's too many young children around here, sweet young children that look up to people in this congregation. Look up to those as people who was in people of importance in their life. And all at once, these people go back to doing things that they did, I guess, back when maybe, I don't know when, sometime, because it wasn't in here. And so those little sweet children, these young people of this church look and say, oh my goodness, what is right? Well, I'll tell you what's right. You stick with the book. And you stick with the standards this old preacher has spent his lifetime preaching to you and teaching you. You stick with them. They're biblical standards. And don't you look at people. They'll destroy you. They'll hurt you. You hear what I'm saying? Do you agree with that, folk? So I'm just saying to you, God holds leadership and responsibility. We're responsible. Amen, folks?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I know. It's usually when I preach, there's some folk didn't like it. I'm not being smart, but you know, I just don't care.
Amen.
I believe I preach what God wanted me to preach. And if you'll take biblically and prove to me that I did not preach correctly, then I'd be glad to listen to you. If not, shape up and get in line.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for the truth, the biblical principle we've looked at tonight. And so ask you, God, to help us realize that it is true. We produce after our own kind. And Father, we need to get a look at what we want to produce. So I ask you, Lord, to work tonight, the Holy Spirit of God, to deal wherever you need to deal. And Lord, I trust you'll find hearts that's receptive to the word and to the truths that need to be proclaimed. And I just pray your will be done, whatever you desire. Lord, the Holy Spirit's there to work. I know that. And you just do the work that needs to be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.